Good morning, and thank you for the privilege. I appreciate Jeremy so much. He's been such a great friend, and just a joy to be here in this historic church that God has used so mightily in the past and is still using now. Let me pray as we begin this morning. Father, we are grateful for your word and this opportunity by means of electrons and equipment to bring your word afresh to your people, Father. We pray, oh Father, for we know it is, as electrons are invisible, it is your invisible reality, the Spirit, Father, who makes valid and makes work your word to us in our life. So we pray, Father, you would speak to us this morning. In Christ Jesus, amen. So for this morning, on the 19th of April, I want to speak to you from Exodus chapter 14, which is where we were last time I spoke here, and blend that with Ephesians chapter 6 a bit. Let me tell you a story first. I had an elder in my very first church. His name was Fred. Fred was a great guy. He's a pretty big fella. He loved football. That was his life. He worked in a chemical plant, but he loved football. He told me the story once that he went into work, and the same thing was happening to him that happens to so many in our day and suspect will continue, where the company or the boss wants you to do more work, but there's not more compensation. He just wants you to take on more responsibilities. Perhaps they've let someone go and you have to pick up their responsibilities. So he was sitting in the office of his supervisor, and the boss is telling him, Fred, I need you to do this and add this to your list of responsibilities and do that. And as he sat there, Fred reached into his back pocket and pulled out his handkerchief and fluffed it up and threw it at his boss. And his boss just stopped like, what is that? And asked him, Fred, what are you doing? And Fred said, I'm flagging you for piling on, as they would in football. We live in a day in which it seems that a lot of that is happening. Perhaps it's our human nature. But with the COVID-19, and it has caused a ripple effect of lots of struggles, some that are obvious and physical, such as economics and health things, some that are a little bit more subtle. That is the strain on relationships. Finances can be one of the biggest incentives towards deterioration in marriages, and the strain on relationships with companies. Why are they doing this and that? That's why the passage from Ephesians. It is a time of worldwide crisis, a pandemic, and so the passage in Exodus fits well with it in that it is a time of radical change. Most of you will remember the passage in Exodus. What happens when you feel like things just keep piling on? Maybe you're sick or maybe you're not, but the finances struggle, other things struggle, things in life just change. And one of the things we hate most is that life changes, and yet change is one of the most certain things. So what do we do? Sometimes we get angry. I know sometimes I get angry about it. Those of a more gentle soul will get depressed and discouraged. How do we address those things? This morning, we'll take time to look at a time of radical change and obvious danger from Exodus chapter 14. Now, that's where the key verse will come from, Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. Moses answers the people of God and says, and this is God's word, says, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord. The Lord will bring to today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. So take in that verse. Do not be afraid. Stand firm. Be still and see the Lord deliver. And mixing it with or combining it with what Jesus says to his disciples. You might remember in John 14, Jesus, sometime between the first Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, and Gethsemane and the cross, sometime between there, he speaks to his disciples and says to them, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. And then in Ephesians, Paul, the great apostle, has spent the book of Ephesians explaining grace and salvation, especially chapter 5 in Ephesians. He speaks to us about the everyday relationships. You see, even in a time of this COVID-19 virus and worldwide crisis, we don't really live there. We live every day in relationships with our wife and our husband, with our children and grandchildren, our neighbors, with our bosses or our employees. How do we deal with those relationships? Having talked about all of those relationships, he says in every one of them the same thing. He says, live in this relationship as unto the Lord, in the Lord, as Jesus. And then we get to chapter 6. In chapter 6, on the heels of that, and Paul writes and says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Now he goes on to say, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Is that how we view both the crisis and our everyday relationships? Is it really much more than what we see on the surface? You see, we live every day in relationships, and we live in a time of crisis, especially these times of dramatic change. A new norm is being born right in front of our eyes. There's a new awareness that is coming to the surface, but that also affects us in everyday life, how we relate to our spouse and our children. We are all sons and daughters. We're all, well, those that are married are spouses, and we're all slaves or slave masters. That is, we work for someone or someone works for us, and we have a source of income. And Jesus is the answer every day, in every way, and most especially in the crisis moment. That's the sum of it. That's what Paul says in Ephesians and what we see happening in Exodus. Jesus is the answer every day in every way, and most especially in moments of crisis. How is that? How does that happen? Well, that's what Exodus 13 and 14, or verse 13 and 14 of chapter 14 speak to. Do not be afraid. Stand firm. And you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring to you today. Stand firm in the Lord. Now, after that, we read in verse 19 a real-time event that serves as a picture of this reality. In the events, you may remember, they are trapped against the Red Sea, so they're at the beach, and the Egyptians are coming down towards them, upon them, creating a dust storm, both a physical one and a dust storm of terror and fear for them. And they cry out. They cry out against and to the Lord, and the Lord answers. Both in words, in verse 13 and 14, and a physical reality. Verse 19 says this, then the angel of God, whom I personally think it was probably Jesus, I wouldn't stand on that as absolute, but the angel of God, who was going before the host of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. How interesting. Here is the revelation of the person of God in a physical manifestation that now takes his stand between them and darkness. On one side would be darkness and the Egyptians and an evil force motivated by Satan and idolatry of all kinds. And on the other side would be the people of God in the light. And so this revelation, just as with Jesus, both in our thinking and perception, the revelation of God, the Word of God, stands between us as a guard between us and the force of darkness, distortions and wrong ideas, and sometimes physical realities. He stands between us. Interested me that He stands behind them. For we just came through the season of Easter, the cross and the resurrection. We live our life based on what's behind us. Jesus has taken His stand and cut us off from the forces of evil, rescued us, secured us by dying for us on the cross and then arising on the beach. They stand their ground. That's really the message, is a stand your ground kind of message, but not stand our earthly ground. It is to stand our ground in the Lord. God says to them, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord, of Yahweh, will bring you today. The Lord will fight for you, and you only have to be silent. Stand strong in the Lord and see His mighty power. That's the first takeaway, if there's a takeaway from these passages. Stand firm in the Lord and you will see His mighty power. Now the parallel passage comes from Ephesians chapter 6, and I mentioned that that passage is on the heels of a chapter describing all the relationships of life and how they are to be. What is challenging about them is that in every one, He will ask the wives to be respectful to their husbands as unto the Lord, and husbands to treat their wives as Christ does the church, giving themselves up for them, and children in obedience, and slaves and masters, and every one of them He will tell them in the Lord. And then says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. That's the key concept. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Not afraid, standing firm. You see, it's not a message of, okay, you're a Christian, so toughen up. Stand up. Be a man. That's not the message at all. The message is really that we ought to hide ourselves in God, in Christ Jesus. The emphasis is to be in the Lord, watching for Him to deliver, to hide ourselves in the wind of His Spirit. They would march across the Red Sea with cliffs of water on both sides that had been stood up by the Spirit of God, by the wind of God. And that's how we walk, with the cross behind us, protecting us, guided by the wind of God as He makes the path. So first, as a part of the takeaway, if we're to stand firm in the Lord, first to stand strong in the Lord, we must recognize our own weakness compared to the enemy we face every day, and especially today in times of crisis. The people of God, Israel, at the Red Sea, there was no doubt. There was no question. They were terrified. They were not naive about the reality of the battle that is going on. I sometimes am very naive. When there's relationship problems, and even when there's crises, it's tempting with the COVID-19 virus to think, what is this? Well, it's just one of those things that happen in this world, and we all just have to adjust, and we hope to get back to normal. No, it is not. That's not the reality of life or this world. Is Satan behind it? Yes, he certainly is. Is it the sovereign will of God? Yes, it is. But there's much more than just a materialistic physical reality. I pray that we find a vaccine. I pray that we find an answer. But there's much more to the reality. God is doing things, and Satan is working very hard. And if we think that we can live our life in a successful way, in a way that is godly, we are mistaken. We cannot. We in our weakness are against a force that is so much mightier than I. We must hide ourselves in Christ Jesus. We must look to Him to rescue us. We must stand firm in Him, both in trusting and in the way we live our lives. That is, being in Him means more than just trusting Him. It means being like Him in our relationships, in how we view the world, and how we view the crisis and the every moment. In the Ephesian letters, he speaks of the schemes of the devil behind everything. Is Paul one of those sort of radical, crazy people that sees Satan hiding behind every bush? Yes, and he's right. Satan is a real force. There is a real enemy. God lives in us and in this world, and that enemy is active. And we will not defeat him by our own thoughts. We lean not on our own understanding, but we trust in the Lord, in his thoughts, and his perspective. So first, we must recognize our need every day and in every crisis, for the battle is not against flesh and blood, rather against the powers of darkness and spiritual forces of evil, unseen by our eyes. Did it not strike you when this all began to happen that this invisible virus that nobody can see shut down the entire world? Shut down the economy and everything that was going on. It became the key event. Just this week, North Korea shot missiles. That would have been the big story, except for this invisible force has taken over the world. And there have been several other stories, tragic tornadoes down south. They weren't the big story on the news. It was this invisible force. That's the reality of life. It's not the seen things, but the unseen things. I couldn't help having read just a little bit about what is a virus. You know that a virus is actually not organically alive? It's simply a small strand of DNA which is coated in a very tasty sheaf of fat. And our cells contact it. Our cells take that fat in. We want that. And then that little DNA strand changes the inside of that cell, makes it aggressive. It begins to grow and explode and causes great illness and even death. I could not help but to think of Jesus in John 10:10. He says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it fully." You see, this little invisible force is mighty, and it comes to steal. Look what it has done. It has stolen an economy that was robust. It has stolen people's lives, physical lives. It has deteriorated relationships and changed the way we live in every daily relationship. And in world pandemics, Satan is at work to steal and to kill and destroy. And yet, in the midst of those same pandemics and everyday life, God is present in the Lord Jesus, and we must be strong in him. We must hide ourselves in him. There's the second takeaway. First, we must recognize our weakness and our need. And secondly, we must stand in the Lord. In everyday life, strained by a crisis, we must hide ourselves in the protection and eternal truth. Be strong, being like Jesus. That means our level of fear must decline because we trust the Lord. And we know our end. We know where we'll live. And it also means we must live our lives daily in a way that is like the Lord Jesus from his perspective. Our hope is not that we should return to the way things were, even with its robust economy. Historically, you've heard on the news many times people referring to the Spanish flu, another pandemic that killed many, many people. And this pandemic we have right now, it's interesting to put it in perspective. It has taken more lives than the regular flu, and yet far less than are aborted every day in medical settings. Historically, with the Spanish flu, what would follow that pandemic? The Roaring Twenties. Was that a good time? No, it was a time of immorality, and people cut loose and did things that were wicked. What will come after this pandemic? It'll make people rethink their life. Either they will find Christ, the Lord Jesus will rescue them, we will hide in him, or they'll recognize how short and frail life is and begin to live even more wickedly. What will happen for those who are not in Christ, for those of you who perhaps are listening who have not come to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus or be strong in the Lord, let me share with you some words from Jonathan Edwards in his time. Jonathan Edwards said and wrote, "God has so many different unsearchable ways of taking wicked men out of the world and sending them to hell that there is nothing to make it appear that God had need to be at an expensive miracle or to go out of an ordinary course of his providence to destroy any wicked man at any moment." You see, Satan prowls around, and God can take your life, my life, in a second in ways we can't imagine. Who would have thought of this virus happening? Or who in each day would have thought of an accident or any other means that God can take our life and send us to the hell we all deserve without the Lord Jesus? That's the reality of life. It is frail, my friends. It is frail. We need to run to and hide ourselves in Jesus. For only in his death and resurrection can we find rescue and salvation. Will God patiently wait one more day, one more hour, that we or a loved one might come to be strong in the Lord? The Lord, says Peter, is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. For you who believe, we need to take that seriously. If God patiently waits another day, we need to be on our knees for our loved ones and pray that God would call them to Christ. For you who don't believe yet, haven't trusted, haven't surrendered to Christ, understand, you live the next moment only by the patience of God, that he does not give us what we deserve. How do we understand what is going on in the COVID-19 in this pandemic? Is it satanic, to which Christians should rally and to a cry to pray and fast? Yes. Is it just an event that's happening we all should just adjust? No. There's more to it than that. Should we be afraid enough that we go and hide ourselves in Christ Jesus? One of the obvious realities many of us need to recognize is this reality of the view of life. Be strong in Christ. Jesus tells his disciples, "Fear not." At the Red Sea beach, it was a bright revelation of God's glory, Jesus, who stood between the forces of darkness and death and them. With Israel, as it was with Peter, in fact, in the day of Jesus, God uses these occasions to prepare his servants. You remember that God would humble Peter, allowing him to deny Christ, breaking him and bringing him to his knees, that he would see his own weakness, that he could then become the mighty leader of the early church. God will use this in our life as we hide in Christ. It should humble us and turn us to hide ourselves in Christ Jesus, that then he might use us mightily for his kingdom's sake. Our second takeaway was that we ought to stand in the Lord, be strong in the Lord. Having recognized the presence of evil, we should not be naive about the dangers and the realities. Seeing the dust storm that Satan stirs up, sometimes that is just a fight with our spouse. Sometimes it gets to the point of almost separating. Sometimes it is struggles with our children, our grandchildren, our boss in which we are angry or depressed, our employees in which we don't know how to motivate them. In all of those struggles, the forces, the dust storm of Satan are present. We should recognize that, but then recognizing it, we must stand firm in the Lord Jesus. We must look for our wisdom, our strength, our help to the Lord Jesus. This means you must be first in the Lord. You must surrender first to him. Then you can take your stand in him. As a young Christian, almost a century ago, it seems to me, I fell into sin. Not as if that didn't happen all the time, but I remember one particular occasion in which I had fallen into sin. I was a very young Christian in my teens, and I'd heard a preacher, and I probably misunderstood him, but either way, I got the message that if you had been a Christian, if you were a believer and you fell into sin, you could never repent again. You were lost. And it struck me like a ton of bricks. I can remember laying on my older brother's bed and just weeping my eyes out, thinking I was lost and could never be saved. Now, that was a distortion and not true, but it brought home to me an emotional truth, a truth that would be a part of me for the rest of my life. And that was the reality of my own weakness and need of a Savior. I need to stand in the Lord Jesus every day and in every way, and particularly in crisis moments. Finally, our last takeaway is that as God rescues us every day and in the crisis, we might stop, be still, and see the power of God. In that deliverance, we will see God's face. Paul writes in his second letter to the Thessalonians, to that church that was under persecution. It says to them, "Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith. In all the persecutions and trials you are enduring." You see, the very process of trials and our enduring in Christ in those trials is a part of God's work, of which he is very proud. He boasts about us when we stand firm in those trials. God is in the very process. We first must recognize Satan's evil hand and our own weakness. We must take our stand in the Lord Jesus. Having done so, stop and see the face of God in the deliverance he brings. A blog post from a missionary from Wuhan, what is thought to be the epicenter of this worldwide pandemic, wrote this. He identified himself just as PZ and noted that the acts of kindness by Christians have helped them gain favor in that city of Wuhan, even among the authorities. He writes, quote, "They just do what a true Christian should do in this situation, preaching the gospel and being witnesses of the true peace and true hope that come from Jesus Christ in front of non-believers who are in panic and hopeless." These Christians in Wuhan would wear their mask. In fact, they were wearing bright yellow sort of rain suits and standing on a corner, passing out free masks. You see, money didn't mean anything. It couldn't buy you a mask. They didn't have them. They were passing out masks and a tract that told them about eternal life in Jesus Christ. He tells one particular story in which a policeman was approached and given a mask. He looked at the tract, took the mask, and wasn't a short time later, he brought two other policemen back to them to receive a mask in this tract. It wasn't long before that the police were very suspicious of Christians, particularly in Wuhan, and now they had gained great respect by their love and compassion, by their peace, by their firm stand in Christ Jesus. As they became like Jesus, they came to the world that was in terror and panic, and they brought the grace of God. I pray that you will do that. Stand firm in the Lord Jesus. Be like Jesus in every relationship, every day, and particularly in these moments of crisis. Let me pray. Father, I know this is just being recorded, but you are a real God, unlimited by time and circumstances. And so I pray by your powerful, invisible force, the Spirit, that you would speak to your people and encourage us to stand firm in the Lord Jesus. To stand firm in him. In Jesus' name, amen.